Every week, like me, pastors sit down all over the world with their Bibles, and through study and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we find the words we will share with you, our congregations, in this Sunday sermon. Now, this has gone on from almost the very beginnings of the church, and it will continue to go on long after we are all gone. For the most part, this task is not terribly difficult. But every so often, we come upon parts of Scripture that almost seem to defy explanation, which brings me to today's reading. See, Jesus is still teaching this crowd. He's talking about this rich businessman who fires his manager after learning he was dealing wastefully with his property, which kind of, I guess, means he was kind of ripping him off. And in order to secure his future with friends, this manager then goes on to cheat the businessman even further. And so that when Jesus says that the businessman commends the manager for his shrewdness, I'm just left scratching my head. Now, as I read and I studied, I found several different ideas about what this verse might mean. So let me pause here to say, first of all, that greater minds than mine have struggled with this passage for a long time. After all, the story feels upside down. The bad guy wins. All is not right with the world. So what in the world can Jesus possibly be thinking? Well, some of the possible explanations that I came upon are that first is that he is telling us that in our dealings as Christians, we need to be as shrewd as the world is in their dealings. Or that this businessman is as corrupt as the manager and therefore commends him for his shrewdness. Or that the manager knew that his boss was a forgiving man full of grace, and so he forgave others. Well, each of these and several of the other ways of looking at this story all help to teach some lesson, but each of them requires us to make certain assumptions for which there is no evidence in the story, except possibly for one. So let's back up a little and let me set the scene for you in a bit more detail. As I said before, Jesus has been traveling through the countryside, and it seems like wherever Jesus goes, crowds gather, and not just crowds, large crowds of people gather around him. And believe me, in this Roman occupied territory, anytime large crowds begin to gather, people get nervous. So this crowd has caught the attention of the Pharisees and the scribes who have come out to stir up trouble for Jesus because he continues to steal their thunder. They accuse him of hanging out with sinners and even worse, tax collectors. To which Jesus replies, "Yes, I do. I even sit at the same table with them and share meals with them." And then he tells them these three stories about being lost, two of which we talked about last week, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And the other is just as familiar. It's the lost son, or as it's come to be known, the prodigal son. So here's the picture. Sinners, tax collectors, disciples, apostles, Pharisees, and scribes are all sitting together listening to Jesus speak. And he has just finished telling these stories about being lost when he launches into this new story that we just heard this morning. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to tell you the story again, only I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit to use a tone I think Jesus might have been using, and perhaps that may help us to understand the story just a bit more. There was a rich businessman who had a manager. Let's call him Mo. And the rich man found out that Mo wasn't doing his job. He was squandering money and wasting time, and the businessman had had enough. So he called Mo in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Bring me the books and show me how things stand, because if I find anything out of order, you, my friend, are fired." Well, Mo was shocked and scared and didn't quite know what to do. So he sat and he thought, and he decided he needed to make some good friends to take care of him when he got fired. And first, he called in Larry and asked him, "How much do you owe my master?" And Larry tells him, "I owe him 100 jugs of olive oil." Well, Mo poked Larry in the eyes and said, "You fool, no. Write down that you owe him 50 barrels. Larry was amazed, but while rubbing his eyes, he did what Mo told him to do. And then Mo called in Curly, sorry to all you Shemp fans, and asked him how much he owed. And Curly said, "I owe him 100 containers of wheat." And Mo just made a face and smacked him over his head with a shovel and said, "No, you fool, take your bill and make it 80. And then after cooking the books, Mo took them to the master, and the master commended him. And Mo thought, "Oh, a wise guy, huh?" Which is what we may be thinking as well about now. But then when we read the next couple of verses, we hear a new conversation. I can just hear Jesus telling this story, and in the middle of the story, purposefully turning to the Pharisees as he goes on to talk about how the world is shrewd and you can't serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other, and finally how you can't serve both God and money. And as always, the Pharisees and the scribes have something to say. They're grumbling and ridiculing him, and this time Jesus speaks directly to them. He says, "What a bunch of fools you are, a bunch of stooges, if you will. This story is about you. Everything you do is to justify yourselves in the eyes of others. You put on a show, and it's a pretty good show. Lots of laughs, but in the end, it doesn't really mean anything. God knows your heart. And what is prized by human beings like you is an abomination in the sight of God. As they used to say in seminary, that'll preach." Now, of course, we are far too smart to become like the Pharisees and scribes, aren't we? Well, let me tell you one more story as a sort of cautionary tale. There was a wise man and teacher in India who had a student who was doing so well that the wise man determined that it was time for the student to be on his own. The student lived simply in a mud hut with only a loincloth for clothing. He meditated and prayed at all times except when he would go into town and beg for food. One morning he woke up to find that rats had destroyed his loincloth. He went to town and begged for a new one, and the villagers got one for him, and only to have rats destroy that as well. So when he got another new loincloth, he got a cat, and that took care of the rats. Only now when he asked for food, he had to ask for milk for the cat. Finally, to take care of the cat, he got a cow. Only now he had to beg for hay for the cow. So he planted a small plot of hay. And caring for the hay took so much time, he couldn't meditate anymore, so he hired some men to take care of the hay. And eventually he couldn't keep up with the men who worked for him, so he took a wife to help him manage the men. But, well, she refused to live in a mud hut, so he had to build a house to please her. Sometime later, his teacher happened to be in the area and decided to stop by and see his student. Instead of a simple mud hut, he found a grand house in the middle of what turned out to be the largest farm in the country. When he found his student, he asked him, "What in the world has happened to you? What is going on here?" And the student replied, "Can you believe it? I had to do all this just to protect my loincloth." Do you see how easy it is to become like the Pharisees? To slip into a need to protect our possessions or our position or our power. But friends, all too often and all too soon, our possessions possess us. This tale that Jesus tells of a misguided manager is a reminder of how easy it is to become worldly about our possessions and how those around us may very well commend us, but friends, God is not fooled. God knows our hearts and our minds, and God wants all of us, our total commitment. God wants our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength and our possessions. If we're too busy protecting all of that, then we are not serving God. I pray God will grant us a right relationship with all the people and things in our lives, that we will always strive to make good decisions in what I admit is a messy, messy world, and that love and service will always, always be our driving impulses. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.